The Recap Show is an unfiltered inside look into the world of global soccer and women's sports and all things culture. From two U.S. Women's National Team World Cup champions and Olympians, follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.
Grant and Danny with Danny out and Toby in. This is The Fan. What are you doing to protect your family's assets? The exclusive sponsor of our show, the law firm Condori and Murad, can help you to draft your last will and testament, set up a living trust, or put together a medical power of attorney. Schedule a free consultation with their attorneys today at kmlawyers.com. Be sure to tell them we sent you to get a discount. That's kmlawyers.com. Now, this is where I'm going to miss Danny here for the next few minutes, because I don't know how much you're going to be able to help me on this one, Tobes. I watched the film Old School last night, which is a classic comedy that dropped in 2003. I was in young high school at the time, and Old School was the latest in a run of outstanding R-rated comedies that are no longer a thing. I mean, basically, and hopefully we'll get back to being able to have really good comedies in the theater, but it has been a long time. Nobody has wanted to touch the genre. You watch some of these scenes and you're like, that wouldn't fly today. That wouldn't fly today. That wouldn't fly today. And it's just supposed to be a movie and fun and you're supposed to laugh. But a lot of things have changed. Old School, watching it last night, directed by Todd Phillips. Will Ferrell, peak of his powers. Vince Vaughn, as good as he gets. And then even Luke Wilson, who I've never really been a huge fan of. This is kind of the movie that stands out for him, as far as I'm concerned. Craig Kilborn makes a cameo. You get a little Sean William Scott, who had just been in all the American Pie movies. Artie Lang's in this movie in a cameo. There's a lot of great cameos. But my guess is, when I say Old School to you, it means absolutely nothing.
Yeah, I can't help you here. I got nothing. No file. None. See, whatsoever.
I know the whole, like, acting like you're old at work and you can't relate to anybody thing. I've heard it my whole life when people did it, and I was the young guy that they were complaining about. But we're now at a point where it is getting very frustrating with just movies.
I've never even heard of this movie.
You've never heard of Old School?
No.
Luke Wilson, Will Ferrell,
no.
Vince Vaughn.
Sounds great. No.
I don't even know what to say to that. Now, Claire has probably seen it once or twice, but it means nothing to him. Strober, have you ever even seen this movie? Old School, he's looking at me like he doesn't know what I'm talking about. Darius has never seen a movie to begin with, unless it's Marvel, and Captain America's not in this movie, so there's no chance. It's so unacceptable. Like, it is so infuriating that I watch a movie last night. I want to come in here and just go over all the scenes and throw out some lines and have you guys go back and forth, and you get nothing.
I've seen Old School before. I just want that to be known, and the fact that everyone else is not getting crushed for not seeing this movie. Yet somehow I got shrapnel for seeing it once or twice. That's insane.
But the difference between them having not seen it and you, who casually may have seen it once a few years ago. But it's not like you aren't able to, like, go line for line. Like, this is not a movie you like or care about.
I love this movie. The cinder block scene, dropping it down from the top of the
roof.
It's
a good film.
It's a great film.
It's a great scene, by the way.
It's a tremendous scene.
Yes.
Tremendous scene.
I'm reading some quotes from this that definitely would not fly today.
Oh, no. There's not a whole lot about it that would work today.
This is actually crazy because I don't know why I spaced when you were talking about this. I almost watched this last night. I'm not even joking.
Well, yeah, it's on Netflix right now. So you're going to stumble across it in your feed.
I was 5 seconds away from putting it on, and then I had to go do something.
Well, you should. This is what
I can't believe it.
Good R-rated comedy looks like, which your generation knows nothing about because they don't exist anymore. But it's fantastic, and I hope we can get back to having some really good comedies. It's just been a long time. I saw that the Naked Gun movie with Liam Neeson that just dropped.
I can't wait to see that.
See, that genre is not my favorite. I'm probably going to see it because I like Liam Neeson. And I want to reward someone for making a comedy, if we're being honest. Like, nobody does it. But it had the biggest opening weekend. I think it was not crazy. It was like 15, 20 million or whatever it was. But it was the biggest for a comedy since this era, essentially, since I was in high school. Because it's just a dead thing that nobody does now.
I love those kinds of stupid slapstick comedies.
It's not my favorite, but I am going to support the cause, so to speak. But anyway, I watched it last night. You realize that that's where "I love you, Dad" comes from? That, I mean, you don't realize, actually, because you've never seen a movie. What is your excuse, by the way? Like, this is so unacceptable. How do you, like, you don't have any interest, Darius, in pop culture and being able to understand references. I mean, working with Danny and I must just be awful for you. All we do is quote movies that you've never seen before. What's more boring and awful than people quoting movies you don't know about? That's all we do.
I don't know. I honestly have no answer as to why I've never seen Old School.
No. It's not Old School. It's any movie ever. You've never seen any movie ever that doesn't have Spider-Man in it.
That's not true. Spider-Man wasn't in Fantastic Four.
You seen Tommy Boy?
He watched Superman.
Tommy Boy.
We're done.
I don't think I've seen that. Who's in that?
Chris Farley.
Oh, I definitely haven't seen it. No.
Do you know who Chris Farley is?
Yeah. He was on SNL.
Yes, he was. Yeah. All right, we'll get back to sports because God forbid I try to talk about Tommy.
I know that. I know sports.
I mean, just five guys sitting around and burgers and fries over here, and it's just me saying great movies and nobody knowing what they were. It's just frustrating. That's all I'm saying, guys. I mean, not everything can be, Chronicles of Narnia, right? What were you guys watching as kids? SpongeBob SquarePants.
Great show. SpongeBob, stuff like that.
Yeah. It's not where we are.
New South Park tonight, though.
All right, let's talk quarterbacks, Darius, and let's get into a game of start, sit, or bench. So we've got two groups here. We went with young guys. We went with veterans. These are players with a lot on the line. And these are guys that we're going to pick to either have great seasons, fine seasons, or be in some trouble as the year goes along. So, Darius, why don't you start us off here?
All right, let's start with the veteran group of quarterbacks who have the most to prove. Start, sit, or cut, Bryce Young, Geno Smith, or Sam Darnold?
Whew. Bryce Young, Geno Smith, Sam Darnold. I kind of believe in Bryce Young now. I kind of believe that he's turned a corner and Dave Canales has found something. So I'm going to start Bryce Young. I think he's going to have a good year this year. Final couple of games of the year, I think he had 7 touchdowns, no picks, threw for about 300 yards a game. I think they've unlocked something there. I always thought he had it in him, but he is very small. He is kind of have to get that niche-style offense that's similar to a little bit of what like Tua is good at, like those sorts of things where they work in that system, a true system quarterback, but you put them in the right system, they'll make it work. So I'll start Bryce Young. I'm going to sit Geno Smith. I think he'll be fine. He'll be okay. It's not going to be special, but that's kind of what Geno Smith is at this point in his career, right? He's okay, not special, gets the job done. I think that's what he's going to be in Vegas. I'm all the way out on Sam Darnold. All the way out. I think he had one great run, and it's because he had a fantastic head coach in Minnesota. Kevin O'Connell is one of the best in the game at taking any quarterback and turning him into something. I think he'll probably do some of that with J.J. McCarthy. He doesn't have him anymore. So I'm going to bench Sam Darnold.
So we agree, I think, on one of the three, it sounds like. I am going to start Geno Smith. They wrote me. I didn't write back. I wrote them. They didn't write back. Somebody wrote somebody. Nobody wrote back. I don't remember the line. Geno Smith is in, I think, a pretty quarterback-friendly situation. They drafted Ashton Jeanty. I think they're going to feed him. He will be a workhorse. They also brought in Raheem Mostert, the former Miami Dolphin. I don't know if he could stay healthy or not, but that's a decent little 1-2 punch. Mostert had double-digit touchdowns as a rusher a couple of years ago with Miami. Pete Carroll, even though it's not how I would do it, is going to demand that they pound the football. They'll be run first and run second under Chip Kelly, who I like as a coordinator. I don't think he's a great head coach in the National Football League, but I think as a coordinator, he's going to do some good things. They'll spread it out. They'll let Geno make some plays. It's not a great wide receiver room. They need Dante Thornton, the fourth-round pick they drafted, to help them. They need Jack Beck, the second-round pick that they drafted, to have a good year. In fact, they're counting on 3 top 6-round guys in their wide receiver rotation. As far as veterans, it's basically just Jacoby Myers of guys that you've heard of that are any good. But let's not forget about Brock Bowers. I think he's one of the top 5 weapons in the league.
So good.
Like, take position out of it. I can't name 5 guys that I like more as offensive weapons right now as matchup problems than Brock Bowers. So Geno Smith has a pretty good situation. It's going to be run first. They're going to try to play some defense. I think they'll be able to with Max Crosby up front. They added 2 starters in the linebacking core. They added 2 starters in the secondary, Jeremy Chin from here in D.C. and Eric Stokes from Green Bay at corner. I think Geno's going to have a fine year. Not spectacular, but he'll be fine. I'm going to sit Bryce Young. I thought about having him start, I'm with you. I am buying in. I don't think he's ever going to be spectacular. Like, this is not a star power player, to your point, but I think he's going to be okay. For a little while, it looked like it was going to be a disaster. They got to move on. He's not going to be a player you can give a second contract to. Dave Canales has done a really good job. I think Andy Dalton in his ear is very, very helpful. Help bring him along, develop him. They drafted Tech McMillan out of Arizona in the first round to go with Adam Thielen and Leggett in the wide receiver room. I think overall it's not great, but it's good enough. That's the best receiver group that they've had for him. And they can run the ball with Chuba Hubbard. They bring over Rico Dowdle from Dallas. So Canales as the main ingredient there, I'm going to sit but keep Bryce Young. And then like you, I'm moving on from Sam Darnold, bro. He had an awesome season. But when it came down to it, he shriveled in the biggest games of their year. When they played the Lions with a chance to win the division in Week 18 on national TV in the final game of the NFL season on Sunday Night Football, he was awful. Detroit had a good plan, but he just turtled. Next week, played the Rams, brutal. Held on to the ball. I think that's kind of what you expected, right? The ceiling was they maxed him out with scheme, with weapons, with Jefferson and so many other guys. Now, he moves on to a lesser group. He's still got a great receiver room. Jackson Smith and Jigba, solid. Cooper Kupp, solid. They brought in Marquez Valdez-Scantling to be a number three. My sneaky favorite player in the class was Torrey Horton, who I only really knew from watching Colorado State play against Colorado when I was rooting against Deion Sanders when he was trolling everybody. And that guy caught 17 balls in that overtime game that night. But that guy can play. I like him. He's going to be good this season. I would like draft him in a PPR league in fantasy. So it's not a bad situation, but it's a lot worse. And Kevin O'Connell's not coming with you, bro. Defensive-minded head coach, offensive coordinators, Clint Kubiak, who I like, but I'm going to say I'll bench Sam Darnold. So we agree on that one, and we flip-flop the others. So that's the young guys' version. Let's get to the veterans, then, that have something to prove.
Well, first, you got to update your Geno Smith quote file, his latest one, which just dropped today.
Oh, gosh.
Let them sleep. I don't want them to see us coming.
Okay, so here's my Geno Smith take on his quotes. He did this thing that went viral, and it probably was a canned, rehearsed line. The reason it went viral is because it felt, at the time, he was not known for this, as if he just said it. As if he didn't practice it in the mirror the night before. Like, it wasn't corny, it wasn't cheesy, it wasn't rehearsed. It was just, oh my God, what a great line. Those are bars.
Right after a win, too. It was exactly. Like a big win.
He's just standing on
national
the field.
TV.
That was his can't wait Bart Scott moment, right? That was his Richard Sherman, like, Michael Crabtree's a bum screaming at Aaron Andrews thing. And it just felt like bars. It was like, what a great line. But that happened, and he got a little taste of everyone being like, oh my God, Geno's a poet. Like, Geno's the man. And now he's like Jalen Hurts. He's just trying to come up with slogans and say stuff he saw in Jordan documentaries.
You didn't like the one from earlier this offseason? I didn't come to roll the dice. I came to run the table.
Awful. That one is cringeworthy because he's doing a Vegas thing. It's a themed. Like, that's just bad.
Yeah, I can't stand when Jalen Hurts does it. It's a little more acceptable because it's not as canned of phrases from Geno, but they are getting a little bit old.
Now, you won't get me to dislike Geno. Geno's my guy. I just think he's been through it. I love his whole career arc. Having to go to the Jets, I'll root for anybody who has to deal with that. Fans hating his guts. I think a linebacker on his team punched him and broke his jaw one time.
That's right, yes.
Didn't someone like bust him in the face in the locker room? Some clown shoe? I mean, he has been through it, so I will root for him because nobody wrote back for a long, long time when he was writing all those letters. But enough with the catchphrases. We got you one. You've got one. You don't need to do it every time you talk.
Geno Smith, bar dropper. All right, on to the young quarterbacks. Let's go with start, sit, cut on Michael Penix, Caleb Williams, or J.J. McCarthy.
So I think I have a hot take here.
Uh-oh.
I'll start us off with this one. I'm starting J.J. McCarthy.
Ooh.
I am going to buy in on J.J. McCarthy in Minnesota for the reason that you went with Sam Darnold last time. You basically talked about how great Kevin O'Connell is for quarterbacks. He's got a really good situation in Minnesota. You're throwing to the best wide receiver on the planet. In Jettis, J.J. Justin Jefferson across the middle, caught for a first down, Vikings. Paul Allen's going to be telling you, J.J. back to pass. He finds J.J. middle of the field. It's Justin Jefferson. Jefferson, Addison, Naylor, Felton, Hia Turp. I think Ty Felton's going to have a good year, by the way. He can play.
Yeah, he can play.
He's going to make acrobatic, athletic catches, dudes hanging off of him, contested catches down the field. He's going to be like the four there. But eventually, that's a good NFL starter.
Mm-hmm.
Best receiver room in the league. Maybe a top three, certainly a top five, six OC play caller in Kevin O'Connell. If J.J. McCarthy can't make it work, he can't play. But this is going to look like Michigan. They're going to hand the ball off to Aaron Jones, Jordan Mason, Ty Chandler. They're going to go play action pop passes middle of the field. They're going to run digs and crossers behind linebackers. Little anticipatory throws. He's going to be leading guys. J.J. McCarthy is going to ball out. I'm going to say start J.J. McCarthy.
Interesting.
Who are you starting?
I'm going to go with Michael Penix. I was really impressed with him. He missed a lot of throws in that game against Washington, the Sunday nighter that ultimately clinched the playoff spot for the Commanders. But when he had to have it, final drive, he drives him right down there, and Grant, some of the throws were picture perfect. When he has time in the pocket, and now he's going to be more comfortable in his second year, and especially as the season goes on and he gets more chemistry with the guys, he can throw it unlike maybe anybody else in this class. Like, he is a rocket arm. When he's on, he is on, and he can put it wherever he wants. He's a special arm talent. Now, can he put everything together? We'll see. Now, the other thing, and I see fantasy people tweeting about this all the time, he's talking about Kyle Pitts and like trying to create a connection.
He could talk about Kyle Pitts all he wants to. Fool me once, shame on me. Fool me 63 times, shame on everyone that's ever lived.
Apparently, they're out going golfing, trying to get a camaraderie and a chemistry together. I don't know. I'm buying into the Michael Penix with Drake London. Maybe he unlocks Kyle Pitts a little bit. Michael Penix is going to be good.
Drake London, Darnell Mooney, little Ray McCloud situation in the slot. They can make some plays. They don't have big physical guys outside of London, but they got some twitch at receiver. I could get down with that. You can miss me with Kyle Pitts, okay? I have played that game. I have done that. If he lines up in the right spot and doesn't, like, lollipop, popcorn the ball to a defensive back, it's an upgrade from last year. He is a silliest of geese. Out. Could not be further out. And by the way, like, I wouldn't draft him with your fantasy team. People have been talking about this for years about Kyle Pitts. I don't know how.
You want to hear.
He had a 1,000-yard rookie season, by the way.
He did.
He went for 1K. And you watch him now and you're like, this guy did that? He is ultimate team can't get right.
You want to hear an egregious thing that I did in a fantasy league? Because no one cares about fantasy teams. But in a rookie draft, I decided to go with Kyle Pitts over Ja'Marr Chase.
What? No, you mean back then?
Yeah, back then. Okay. Rookie draft.
Less crazy maybe then. I mean, still insane. But
still, I mean, I'm looking at arguably the best receiver in the league and a tight end that everyone jokes about. I chose the tight end.
First year, 1,000-yard tight end the worst thing. All right, so we got our starters. Sit. I'm going to sit. See, this is hard because I don't really want to bench either of them or cut either of them, I guess it is. I'm going to sit Penix. I'll keep him on my roster because I...
Okay.
Caleb Williams, maybe it's the camp videos getting to me where he can't hit a net.
The one couldn't hit the net and then threw a fit.
Yeah.
I like Caleb Williams, but my gosh.
You mean when my son, 4-year-old Truman, was mad that I told him we had to go have a play date with his buddy PJ and we couldn't keep wrestling in the basement? So he started to scream and pout and swing his arms around? Is that the video you're talking about?
Very similar.
If you guys haven't seen this, it's Caleb Williams like... The net that Jaden Daniels just throws balls through every single day, like with his eyes blindfolded and his arms behind his back and his legs handcuffed together, Caleb Williams could not hit that net from like 11 yards away. And it's just a one-off. It means nothing. I'm not suggesting it does. But then he pouts and has this big thing, and I'm like, not for me.
Now, I've seen the net performance. It just looked a little bit different. It was Grant H. Paulson on Twitter out at Commanders camp. It was a little bit different. It wasn't a net. It was a little blow-up thing. But I've seen similar throwing results. The difference was you didn't pout afterwards.
Well, there's two differences. One, I was a hell of a lot closer to throwing a ball through the middle, too. Okay? I put some zip on that thing.
You did.
It missed by about a foot. A receiver could have caught it with his arms. There's no catch radius on this planet that would allow a receiver to catch the ball that Caleb Williams was throwing. But I digress. Penix, the throw he made against Washington that you referenced was big time. That game was kind of uneasy, but that throw taught me a lot. Like, that whole drive, coming back, sending it to overtime was really impressive. I just think they're putting a lot on Caleb Williams right now. The Ben Johnson offense, it's super complicated. There's a lot going on. It seems like it's going to be a slow start to the year for him. So I'll ride with Penix, which means I'm cutting Caleb Williams, the 1-1 pick last year.
Yeah, I'm going to agree with you in terms of I'm going to cut Caleb Williams. I'll get to him in a second. I still believe in J.J. McCarthy, like you're saying.
You're not cut. I thought you were going to cut J.J.
No.
Why were you so out on my J.J. McCarthy take?
I just thought it was interesting that you were going to put him the top of all the three, but Kevin O'Connell is the best play caller, in my opinion, of those guys.
I was going to say, is Penix throwing to Jefferson with O'Connell in his headset?
I'm really intrigued by what McCarthy can do, and watching a couple of his throws from camp, he's got some zip on the ball, and I think they're going to make it as easy as possible on him, so I think he'll be fine. But, man, I feel bad that Caleb Williams, it just doesn't look right. And Ben Johnson, I wonder if he's having a little bit of a, man, I decided to go here of all places. We'll see if it works out, but it looks like Ben Johnson and Caleb Williams might have got stuck in the Chicago quarterback curse because it's not looking hot.
It's too early for me on that. Let's give him some time. But also, you know, your prototypical camp videos for clicks kind of stuff circulating. Having said that, it could start one of two ways so far, where all the reports are really good, or he's going 6 of 17 and they're 11 on 11 and he's missing nets, and it's B, not A.
Exactly.
You'd like it to be A at this point. Couldn't be Washington with Jaden Daniels. That's what I know. John O'Ran covers sports business. He will join us next. I want to get to the bottom of the ESPN-NFL merger and if they're going to try to ruin Red Zone by making Pat McAfee host it or something like that. We'll ask him next.
The Recap Show is an unfiltered inside look into the world of global soccer and women's sports and all things culture. From two U.S. Women's National Team World Cup champions and Olympians, follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.
Double play coming up at 3:45. What's going on in our lives? Nothing to do with sports. And we've got a Beltway Blitz for you at 4. Grant and Danny. Danny's out. Toby's in today on the Fan. Robert Mays of the Athletics NFL coverage stops by at 5. He's got a training camp tour that is ongoing at this point. Looking forward to discussing the Commanders, the Steelers, where he was today, and some of the other teams that he's covered with him. That's coming up in about an hour and a half. Toby, I know we're both going over to Nats Park tonight. Mackenzie Gore is on the hill. I was thinking about this. So they're calling up Cade Cavalli to make his first start in 3 years tomorrow. He debuted in late August of 2022. 3 years later, he's finally getting back to the big leagues. You and I have both gotten to know him a little bit over the years in the clubhouse. An exceptionally good human being. Long, long road to recovery. A lot of injuries. Guy that was drafted in the first round, was a quick-moving prospect. They thought he'd be a fixture in the rotation. And really, unfortunately, because he got hurt after one big league start, and then he got hurt again a couple times thereafter, they have burned almost three seasons of control. Like, he's closing in on now a couple years from free agency, despite only pitching one time in the major leagues. But there's at least a reason the next 2 days to care and to watch or to listen to Charlie and Dave. There are fewer of those moving forward for the rest of this season than there have been in a long time. And it's just not going to be, for Nats fans, you know, the normal pleasant experience that it normally is. And I'm not even talking about, like, winning. I just mean turning on a game, seeing competitiveness. Like, this is going to be homework the rest of this season, it feels like.
Yeah, 100%. It's going to be tough, especially when you look at the bullpen. Added a couple new guys, but the pitching staff night in, night out could give up a million runs. You hope that James Wood comes out of the slump. That'll be something to watch. Hope Dylan Cruz comes back soon, and he'll give you something to watch. Outside of that, CJ, I guess, Brady House, a couple of guys in the rotation. It gets pretty rough, like you were saying.
Yeah, the young core of bats is worth monitoring. Like, Abrams, Wood, House still, who hadn't hit for a lot of power, but has been okay at putting the ball in play. Dylan Cruz will be in the big leagues in the next week. There's a couple of arms worth monitoring as well, but this is the bleakest it's felt in a long time, just in the way of games mattering. And it's still 2 months of baseball left.
It's rough.
It's going to be a slog. All right, let's get to the guest hotline, Rude Guest Hotline. Rude, the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV. And let's welcome onto the show John Orand, who's a sports correspondent for Puck. We've always loved talking sports business with John. John, it's good to talk to you again. Danny's out today. Toby's in. It's Grant. How are you?
I'm heading out to a Nats park tonight. I think I'm going to be one of like 500 people. It's Nats and A's. Talk about a terrible game.
Well, somehow, the chances of this happening are like 0.17%. You, me, and Toby will all be at that game. Three people interacting right now are all going to end up at Nats Park. I don't think this is happening anywhere else in the city right now.
Wow, yeah, it's a trend. Everybody go now. Exactly.
Maybe they'll be sold out. I mean, that's what it sounds like.
Yeah, why not?
It's going to be a packed house tonight. John, I wanted to talk about this merger with ESPN and NFL Media and some of my concerns that I'm worried about and let you give us an idea of what this looks like. But let's paint with a broad brush first. What is happening exactly?
So what's happening is that the NFL owns NFL Network. It owns NFL Red Zone. And so it is doing a deal with ESPN. Those have been on the block forever because the NFL launched them, you know, 20 years ago, and they rose with the cable industry. But as anybody that follows media knows, the cable industry is in a world of hurt right now. It's losing subscribers. Everybody's going to streaming. And so the NFL has been trying to sell these networks for quite a while because the NFL doesn't like to be associated with anything that's declining. Everything it does has been going up for as long as I've been covering them, which is a couple of decades. So these have been on the block for about the past 2 years, and ESPN has been the most likely place for them. And so ESPN, they want to get these two networks for a couple of reasons. You asked what is happening. ESPN is going to oversee NFL Network, and it's going to oversee NFL Red Zone, and the NFL is going to take probably about a 10% stake in ESPN. And for ESPN, the reason for doing this deal is twofold. One is the NFL of TV ratings just has media. It is the most powerful media enterprise in the United States right now. It gets better TV ratings. It gets more people subscribing to streaming. It gets better streaming numbers than anyone. And so getting involved with the NFL is great for ESPN because it wants to stay involved. If they're partners, it's less likely that the NFL, when Monday Night Football rights come up, are going to take those rights and try to take them to the highest bidder. And so for the NFL, for ESPN, that works really well. Secondly, ESPN is, within the next couple of weeks probably, going to be launching a direct-to-consumer service. And one way to get people to subscribe to this direct-to-consumer service, which is going to be about $30 a month, is by having access to NFL Red Zone. And so if they have that NFL Red Zone as part of that service, the belief is it's going to bring in a lot more subscribers than if they didn't have it. So everything is sort of conspiring to allow this sort of deal to happen right now.
So then a couple follow-ups to that. I have YouTube TV so that I can have Red Zone and Sunday Ticket. I'd imagine I still get Red Zone with that, number one. And then also this DTC, the direct-to-consumer ESPN $30 a month thing. I have ESPN Plus, which is a lot less than that. And it gives me all the games for all the sports, like 150 college games of random directional schools I've never heard of. Do I not have that anymore? Like, is that a different thing?
Can I ask you a question? Why do you have ESPN Plus? What do they carry that interests you?
That is a great question. I got it because my wife is a big JMU football fan, and that's how we watch all the JMU games, essentially, that aren't on ESPN. Like, they just have dozens of random college football games.
And then it's total inertia. It's like, well, we're subscribers. I'm not gonna get
yeah,
rid
exactly.
of it.
Exactly. I mean, I also, you know, there's a couple of shoulder programs with ESPN that I think about it, like the NFL season, the old Chris Berman, Tom Jackson NFL primetime with the music that's nostalgic.
That's great. Yeah.
I love that show. And like I watched that. To be honest with you, like as we talk right now, I don't think I've watched anything on ESPN Plus in a few months and I'm paying for it. But football season I will check out a few things.
All right, so if you're a YouTube TV subscriber or a Comcast subscriber or a DirecTV subscriber, you are still going to have NFL Network. You're still going to have access to NFL Red Zone. That's not going. This is not exclusively going to ESPN. It's just going to be another place for fans to watch that channel. As far as ESPN Plus, eventually they're going to have to sunset it. They're going to have to get rid of that brand. But right now, because of certain deals that they have, like with UFC, and I don't know specifically which college conferences, but a couple of the smaller college conferences, like those, the contracts they have with those deals, they have to be part of this ESPN Plus. So if you become a subscriber to this new app, you'll get ESPN Plus. But if you're an ESPN Plus subscriber, like you're an ESPN Plus subscriber, so you would end up probably just ditching that and subscribing to the ESPN app.
You mentioned that ESPN going to be overseeing the NFL Network programming and then NFL Red Zone. Would we see any differences and changes in that programming, or will it stay mostly the same, just with a different oversight?
I think it'll generally stay mostly the same. Here's the one thing about ESPN is that this is what they do for a living. This isn't necessarily what the NFL did for a living. So I think that you will see, I'm going to say two things that are going to sound polar opposite, but it's still somewhat true. You're going to see it more professionalized. The ESPN, they're part of ABC. ESPN has been around for how many years, 50 years or so. So that they're going to be able to, do things a lot more professionally and make some of the studio shows look more professional. At the same time, like Mina Kimes has a show on at night that's sort of a Zoom from her house, So they've also leaned into the other aspect of it. So you are going to see certain changes. You're going to see a certain ESPN stamp go into it. But if you're an NFL fan and you like the NFL Network, you'll still like the NFL Network. I think the changes are going to be. Yeah, you'll notice them, but they're not going to be massive.
What about crossover talent like Mina Kimes on Good Morning Football type stuff? Or, they can't do a show, I'm pretty sure, contractually at ESPN without Pat McAfee being involved. Like, how do they have him sitting next
to Stephen A. Smith?
Yeah, well, him too. I mean, it's one or the other. Normally not together. They're never in the same room at the same time. But they can't do anything without one of them. Like, do they somehow ruin Red Zone? I know they want to, desperately. How will they?
I can't. How could they ruin Red Zone? Red Zone is live look-ins to various games. I can't imagine that ESPN is going to come in and shake up Red Zone. I mean, Red Zone works the way.
Here's
it works.
The way I'm envisioning it. Right, Scott Hansen goes to a game, and then Stephen A. Smith there's a little chyron at the bottom where like. He pops up and he starts debating the legacy of the quarterback of the game you're watching and whether or not this game will ruin his legacy.
Yeah, bring in the third string quarterback. Here's what I'll say to try to alleviate your fears, because I have heard a lot of fears about, oh, no, when ESPN gets a hold of whatever. They hired Pat McAfee, and Pat McAfee, he went on air and publicly called out executives at ESPN, and he's publicly bashed other people at ESPN, and he does outrageous things that you never thought a Disney-owned company would allow, and they allow that. So under Jimmy Pitaro, who runs ESPN, he has a much more relaxed view about, like, if we're going to pay to bring in talent, we have to let the talent be the talent. And so he knows what works for NFL Red Zone, and putting Stephen A. to roll his eyes every time the Jets throw an interception is not going to work for the NFL Red Zone. And I can't imagine that they're going
to
do it.
Music
Although I
to
would
my
pay
ears.
To see that. That would be fun.
I love that. John O'Rand is with us. All right, we'll let you out on this one. We only have about a minute left here. We're late, but I wanted to crowbar in Masson and the Nats. So when the dispute ended and it looked like the Nats were a free agent for TV rights, I was very hopeful of maybe something bigger and better. There is this sneaking suspicion, though, that Masson could still be the landing spot. I even saw they're talking with the Orioles about continuing the marriage here.
Yeah, I mean, so where else are they going to go? What you're describing was a scenario and the situation like 5 years ago or 6 years ago when they could have broken away and they could have had multiple partners bidding on their rights. but the whole regional sports network system is in disarray. Cable is in disarray. That's why we've been talking about the ESPN app for this conversation. So there aren't that many other areas.
You don't think Monumental would be a landing spot?
Monumental possibly could be a landing spot, but if I were Masson, I'd be spending a lot of money to try to keep the Nats on board. I mean, they already have a lot of name recognition and branding here in D.C. I would so Monumental could be a landing spot, but it would take a lot of money, and I'm not sure if Ted will step up for a rights fee battle war.
John, appreciate the time in. Hopefully we get to watch some good baseball tonight.
Hey, if I hear you booing, it'll echo through the stadium.
Yeah. Remember, you have your own section, your own bathroom, and your own concession stand. Don't come to mine and don't go to Toby's, all right? We all get our own tonight.
Yeah, nobody's going to be on the Metro on the way there. It'll be great.
Thanks, John. Be good. What are the chances of that? The three of us all going to the ball game tonight. Three of the 4,700 or whatever it's going to be.
Yeah, something like that.
Our double play is next. What's going on in our lives? Nothing to do with sports. I got a petty breakup to tell you about on Grant and Danny.
The Recap Show is an unfiltered inside look into the world of global soccer and women's sports and all things culture. From two U.S. Women's National Team World Cup champions and Olympians, follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.
It's time for our double play on Grant and Danny. Danny's in Scotland. Toby's in today. You're locked into the Fan. Our double play is driven by your local Washington area Honda dealer. Now is the time for a great deal on a new Honda. Visit your local Washington area Honda dealer today. Thank you, big voice guy. I knew you had it in you. I found this video while doing my normal internet scroll of nonsense.
Okay.
That makes me not productive and is the thing that I'd like to cut out of my life. But every now and then you stumble across something that's moderately entertaining. And I looked it up and it's like 5 years old, but I had never seen it. And so maybe some of you hadn't. There is petty when you break up with someone. Sure. And then there's whatever this is. A guy, in an attempt to get back at or even with his girlfriend, did one of the most ridiculous things post-breakup that I've ever heard. Listen to this video.
McCann's mother has been forced to block dozens of calls after her ex-partner allegedly took her phone number and plastered it on poles here around the CBD, telling people to call up and impersonate Chewbacca for a chance to win $100.
This would be the most childish breakup I've ever had. All he had to do was be mature and go, I don't love you anymore, I want to move on.
The calls have been waking her and her three young children up at odd hours in the evening, and they're yet to stop.
I won $500.
Well, I'm getting phone calls at really strange hours of the night, about 1 o'clock till 4 o'clock.
Forced to call back the wannabe Wookiees and tear down the posters.
That is hilarious.
Not for her, I guess.
I mean, it's a bad bit, but it's hilarious.
Very well played.
Can you do a Chewbacca?
I cannot. If Danny was here, he could deliver the goods.
I can do a little bit of one.
What do you got? Okay, we'll take that.
Little.
You could have called. That's a 2 a.m. phone call.
Yeah, I could have won $100.
You could have. But that's the bit, is to say, hey, you got to call this number, leave a message with your best impression. We're going to pick one and give you $100. And so, I guess just random hours, sober, not sober, middle of the day, overnight, people see the number, they call, and she's just blocking all these numbers
that
and getting all these voicemails. I like the guy that goes, I want my $100.
I won $500.
Oh, man.
That is such a bad bit. Don't do that, but it's hilarious.
What do we think, Tobes? Now, I don't think of you as a particularly petty guy, but breakup, would you think of something funny to do, or do you just let it ride?
Let it ride.
Yeah.
It is pretty funny, though. I don't think I could come up with that.
Clary, ever had anything funny happen to you during a breakup?
No, I never had like my car egged or anything like that. Nothing.
You never had anyone sign you up for the military, right?
No, they didn't sign up for the military.
Recruiters started calling you for the next couple weeks.
Yeah, a couple months. Not Scientology either. You know, nothing of that.
Definitely never any emails saying you might have contracted anything.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, never anything like that. Never a thing of.
Yeah,
that
you wouldn't
nature.
Want that. You wouldn't want that.
You would not want that.
That's way too petty. Would you rather have that, or would you rather have the Chewbacca calls?
Well, I'll take the Chewbacca calls over that. All hours of the night? Yeah, definitely. I mean, I actually think, I guess enough time has passed, right? But a military call is pretty good. Like, hey, did you sign up for the Army? I'm a recruiter. Oh? What do you mean? Are you sure? We have your email, your number, a lot of your information here.
Imagine getting a call from a Scientology school. with your address on there and everything. It was
that's a little
fun,
tough.
Fun time.
Hypothetically.
Yeah, you've never
allegedly.
Had that.
Of course. There you go, your double play. Even though it's 5 years old, maybe some of you heard it in the past. I hadn't, and so it's new for me.
It's hilarious. So good.
Oldie but goodie. Beltway Blitz is next. We'll get into the commanders and areas of concern. Our metropolitan moving and storage poll of the day in the 4 o'clock hour on The Fan.
I won $500.
I'm Kristen Press.
And I'm Tobin Heath.
We're World Cup winners, Olympians, and the hosts of The Recap Show.
Every week, we sit down with the icons, disruptors, and game changers on the field and beyond it to talk victories, heartbreaks, and everything in between.
We've built a space where athletes, changemakers, and people creating the future of women's sports can show up and show off as their full, unapologetic selves.
Follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.